Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Casey Coleman, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. General Services Administration. Also joining us today from IBM is Ken Beecher. And Casey, would you tell us more about GSA's IT strategy and the overarching strategic goals that support your mission?
As I mentioned a moment ago, we're really focused on modernizing our IT infrastructure and being able to deliver more innovative capabilities. That is aligned with GSA's overriding strategic goals. I mentioned sustainability. Another has to do with innovation, operational excellence, and customer intimacy. So sort of a triad of priorities that relate to all aspects of our mission. We are in pursuit of an IT modernization strategy that really began about a year ago. I would say it was founded upon our infrastructure consolidation that I mentioned a moment ago, because until we had a consolidated infrastructure, we didn't know what we had in our inventory. We didn't know what was patched. We didn't know what was out of warranty. We didn't know what we were being charged for and not even using. Once we finished that and got our arms around that, we were able to think about not just consolidating and gaining efficiencies, but really modernizing and moving forward. So a little over a year ago, we commissioned a study to understand what were the issues? Where do we need to go? How are we going to be there when the business of GSA needed us to be ready in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? And out of that, we created a modernization plan that had a number of key initiatives that were really foundational to being able to recognize that innovation goal and some of those other priorities. When Administrator Martha Johnson arrived, we began a conversation about those priorities, and she's a great advocate for the role of technology as a strategic enabler and really very visionary, very progressive in her view of how technology creates an ability to be agile, be innovative. She jumped on that and, in fact, challenged us to take the first set of five projects, which we proposed to be, you know, phase one of our modernization strategy, which were really scheduled to occur over a series of about 18 months. And I still remember the day, it was in March of this year, when she said, well, why don't you get those done by July 4th? And I said, of 2010? Yeah. And she said, yes. And, of course, we went back and huddled and came to the conclusion that we were going to do it. And we really proceeded in a way that I think is a little bit innovative, a little bit novel. And it was at Administrator Johnson's urging us to really bring everyone into the room who had a part to play in getting those first five projects done. So, for example, we needed help from procurement to get some engineering help to speed up the work. We needed help from the finance division to accelerate some of the funding on these projects. We needed help from the public building service to do some renovations in some of our buildings to support some higher demand electrical and internet connectivity wiring. And we brought everyone together in April of this year and had a one-day slam. And slam is not an acronym for anything. It really is just the notion of slamming the project into submission and bringing everyone together to get agreement on what has to be done and everyone's role. And everyone signed agreements, actually. We had big cardboard agreements that everyone committed jointly, every part of the agency, to their role. We left there with an agreement on how we were going to get those five projects done. And we implemented voice over IP phones. We implemented two-factor authentication with the use of the GSA access card to log into the network, forming a foundation for us then to be able to do single sign-on after we integrate the applications into that same infrastructure. We migrated from Microsoft Office 2003 to 2007. I realize we're a few years behind the curve there, but we really had a lot of old applications that still depended on Microsoft Office 2003. And so we had to upgrade all of those legacy systems with those plugins. We also vastly increased our remote access capability. You remember back in February of this year, we had the snowpocalypse or snowmageddon, whatever you may want to call it, that kept the government shut down for about 5 days. GSA was able to really telework pretty effectively during that time. We had about 60% of those employees in the affected area teleworking. But what we learned from that is that the ability to support that was fairly manual on our part, and we needed to really increase the robustness and the availability of those remote access connections to support telework on a broad scale and to a much higher degree. The last of our five initiatives was a part of our migration to the networks contract for telecommunications. It was moving both to a new contract and migrating our data network to the MPLS protocol so that we could take advantage of much higher bandwidth and really start to begin our journey to converge voice, data, and video onto a common network and have a lot more advanced capabilities that come with MPLS. So we did all that in about 10 weeks, and we finished on July 2nd. July 4th was actually a Sunday, so I'll say we finished early, but we did finish on the Friday of that week. And so we declared success on that first phase, and now we've moved on into follow-on efforts.
Well, that's a great segue into the next question, because you've mentioned that IT is a strategic enabler. And you also mentioned that in order to get those major projects done, you needed to bring people together. So the question I have is, how do you foster an enterprise view of IT, and how do you break down some of those silos that hamstring you from old legacy systems?
Part of it is leadership. And by leadership, I mean not just leadership from the IT executives, but also from the senior executives across the agency. Starting to really tie it to the business case and starting to demonstrate what could be with a more enterprise approach. And in building our IT modernization roadmap, one of the themes that came out over and over again is a need for better analytics and the ability to understand the state of our business and the ability to really manage our business in a much more agile fashion. And when you start to communicate the fact that this is currently not as feasible as we would like because of the fact that our legacy systems actually inhibit that kind of agile, modern approach to management, then the light bulbs come on and you start to see a spirit of partnership emerge with the executives who need to be supportive of that.
Casey, you know, one way to mitigate complexity and challenge, especially in light of this agile environment, is to have a strong IT governance. Can you elaborate on your efforts to enhance IT governance within GSA?
Governance is really all about decision making and not just making decisions, but sticking to them. About 2.5 years ago, shortly after I took on this role at GSA, I asked my team to relook at our governance structure because I felt like it was one that was more structured for information sharing than decision making. And we did that and restructured the IT governance so that what had been one large information sharing meeting of the IT leadership of about 40 people was broken up into work groups that had responsibility for architecture, for security, for capital planning, investment control, and so forth. And each of those work groups had the subject matter experts who really were responsible for doing the work, for conducting the analysis, making the recommendations. And then we shrank the IT executive committee to only the 8 executives, and it's now executive only, it's principals only, who had a portfolio that they were responsible for managing. So it really is those folks who really have the accountability who are now charged with the decision making. And then there is an executive group above that, which is the senior team, those who report to the Administrator Johnson. I'm a member of that group as well. And that's really our executive governance. It really has been separated between, you know, the individual contributors, the subject matter experts, and then the decision making 2 tiers above that.
Given your perspective, why do many government IT projects go over budget, miss deadlines, and not achieve stated outcomes?
I think the way our projects are funded makes it difficult to do long-range planning because in some cases the funding is made available at a point where it has to be executed very quickly within the course of that year. And then the subsequent year's funding might be delayed if there's a continuing resolution. It's less the case at GSA where more of our budget is working capital fund, revolving fund because of our fee-for-service nature. But that's not to say we're immune from those challenges because we're part of the overall government structure that is really funded on an annual basis.
So given that GSA has this responsibility to be a good steward of public funds and invest its budget wisely, would you elaborate on how you have strengthened your agency's IT capital investment process?
We've tried to really tie the capital planning much more closely to the overall agency strategic planning process. In previous years, those were really separate processes. You would have the programs and the mission arms of the agency, conducting their strategic planning with their strategic initiatives and goals and outcomes and performance measures. And separately, we would be calculating what are the needed investments for the IT portfolio for the year. Now, it wasn't totally divorced, but it really wasn't integrated very effectively. So in the past couple of years, we've tried to not only integrate it in terms of timing, but also in terms of documentation, so people aren't preparing two sets of documents, one for the, you know, the strategic planning side, one for the capital planning side. We've tried to reduce the amount of work that people have to perform in order to get a better integrated product.
Casey, we've talked about why IT projects may fail. And I've had Rich Spires on, who's the CIO at DHS and also has a role within the CIO Council of Best Practices. And really, where what I'd like to delve into is, what are you doing around project management practices and strengthening them and instantiating them into GSA?
That's a challenging subject because we, and I think I've heard this from other agencies as well, we need to be careful that we retain enough subject matter expertise within our federal employee ranks that we can adequately provide oversight and project management of these initiatives. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, whoever the industry partner is, the government owns the outcome. And we have to be certain that we can provide appropriate management all along the way. So we've tried to really invest in project management training for our IT professionals. We have a certification course that is fairly rigorous, and almost everyone in the IT ranks will go through it at one point or another. We are also moving more in the direction of a PMO, a program management office structure, to look at across the portfolio at all of our projects and to start to do resource and budget balancing across them all and start to make sure that the dependencies are being recognized, because it's not just a matter of executing on one project, it's a matter of executing on the whole program. And they're so interrelated in terms of, I'll give you an example, in order to deploy voice over IP, which is, you know, moving our voice traffic to the IP data network, we need to make sure that our network has sufficient bandwidth to be able to support that extra traffic load. So there's a dependency there that we have to make sure we account for and sequence properly in order to deliver a successful outcome. So that PMO approach is something we think holds a lot of promise, and we're moving in that direction.
Shifting gears slightly, and something you talked about earlier is going green. And the federal government is taking green computing seriously, and both the private sector and federal agencies are pursuing green solutions. There are many opportunities to use IT in meeting this challenge. Would you elaborate on your efforts to be good environmental stewards and move towards green computing?
I think it's an interesting way to look at it. We have been conducting some research, and you know, there's the data center side of things, which is a big target of opportunity. But then there's also the end user devices and peripherals, which is another equally large target of opportunity. We are on the data center side participating in the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, looking to reduce our overall data center footprint and to move into more modern facilities, because it's not just a matter of reducing the number of servers, but also employing techniques such as hot and cool aisles and modernizing with virtualization, using different techniques so that you don't have to keep the entire data center cooled at, you know, 50 degrees. And on the peripheral side of things, we are moving into the direction of energy management so that we're actually turning off computers at midnight or at some, you know, point in the evening when they're no longer being used, turning them off on weekends. We're also communicating that to our employee base and challenging them to start to, for example, rely more on shared multifunction devices and less on a printer on every desk, because a printer on your desk will be used only a few minutes every day on average, but it's consuming electricity every single moment. And so the ROI on that's not that good from a green perspective. I would say, however, that all of this that I've talked about is really about employing green IT. And we think there's a much larger case to be made in the notion of IT for green. And that is to employ IT systems in pursuit of a broader green strategy. And things in that area would include smart buildings. So managing the utilities, the heating and air conditioning and the various utilities in a building with sensors, with IP-based sensors that are on the network that can allow you to really optimize it for the tenants in that building and really not overuse utilities in a sort of one-size-fits-all approach.
So telework or telecommuting, which you mentioned earlier, is an it has a green aspect
to
it.
Oh, you bet.
And it also is a major priority for GSA. So what more needs to be done, and how are you facilitating the government-wide telework initiative?
We are looking to really be a thought leader and show what can be done with teleworking. And in fact, we're really starting to think about it more as a mobile work strategy, because it's not just a matter of working from a home office or a telework center on an intermittent basis. It's really about being able to reach all of your critical business systems anytime, anywhere, from any device. That is our ultimate strategy. So right now, about 46% of GSA's employees telework on a regular basis, but that might mean one day a week. We think there's a case to be made to telework more frequently, 2 or 3 days a week in some cases where appropriate, and start to experience a lot more of the green benefits and you know, employee benefits as well, work-life balance and so forth. Some of the strategies that we're employing to support broader telework include the projects we've already employed, the increasing our remote access. We now have 5 times the VPN capability that we had prior to the SLAM initiatives. But we're also moving in the direction of server virtualization and desktop virtualization. When you start to work remotely, people start to ask for lighter weight laptops, or they start to ask for tablet computers or netbooks, things that really make it easy to work from anywhere without carrying a heavy device all the time. So if you have a more diverse set of endpoints, you really need to carefully consider the data that's resident on those systems and try to move it more into a virtualized environment so that you're not increasing your risk and your security vulnerability while you're making the situation more productive for employees.
So speaking of employees, how do you empower your employees?
We are a very, I think, empowered bunch because we're spread out all across the country. The OCIO team is about 235 people in all of the offices of GSA. So we have project managers who are all over the country managing national projects. We use a lot of video conferencing to stay on top of those projects, but it gives people who are perhaps previously would have been individual contributors or subject matter experts in a local office, now the chance to manage a national project, maybe have opportunity to participate in developmental and leadership opportunities that would give them an advancement path that they didn't have in the past. So that's resulted in a lot of folks now having been promoted into positions of more responsibility where in the past that wouldn't have been available to them. I also have a blog that I use for communicating internally to our own team, where I really try to break down the communications barriers and not depend on someone telling someone else the message that I'm trying to communicate, but really to speak directly to each member of the team and to give them a chance to have a conversation among themselves and with me directly and break down those traditional sort of chain of command issues.
How is GSA pursuing data center consolidation and leveraging technology innovation? We will ask Casey Coleman, Chief Information Officer at GSA, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.